Good afternoon. Once again, we have a very good number gathered back for our afternoon service. We're thankful that you've come. We want to especially, again, welcome our visitors, and we hope that you'll return soon to be back with us here at Overland. I was thinking about our topic that we're going to look at this afternoon, the subject of worry, and I thought about the last verse of the song we just sang. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. When you think about those words and many others that we sing, it should be great encouragement to us and help us to accomplish what we're trying to do, and that is carry out God's command to not be anxious or worried about the things of life that we face day after day. I also thought about song number 442, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we talked about joy this morning, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And this song says, the joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So clearly these ideas of joy and worry do not go together. They are opposite ideas. When my heart is filled with the joy of the Lord, I will not worry. I will, in fact, have the joy of the salvation he intended for me to have. Here is one of the most difficult commands in the Bible for us to carry out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll talk about peace next week and our fruits of the Spirit. But again, he's saying when there is the absence of worry, when we learn to not be overly anxious about things, the peace of God will guard our hearts. And to those outside of the body of Christ, they will never understand this peace. They don't know where it comes from. They have not experienced it. They would like to have it, but they're looking for it often in all of the wrong places. But worry is indeed a challenge to our faith. How long has it been since you worried? Have you been able to make it through today without worrying? Have you been able to make it through the last hour without worrying? And are you worried right now as you sit there over something? Could be health, it could be financial burdens, could be any number of things that we face regularly, every day. We are challenged to carry out that command. But really, it is a disregard of God's commands when we do not try to carry out what he commands of us there. And it's easy for us to just overlook that and say, well, we just can't live that way. But we're doubting again what God tells us. In Matthew 6:25, he's very clear here when he said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now let's stop there for a moment and think for a minute about the difference between regular, genuine thought put into what we're going to do versus actual worry. There is a difference. This is not saying that we give no attention, no thought, no forethought or planning to what we're doing, and that we just live life haphazardly. That's not what he wants us to do. It's good that we give proper forethought and planning to some things. But there's a difference between that and genuine anxiety that distracts us from the ability to do what we really need to do. There are things that you and I or to take care of in our life day by day. We're told, for instance, that we're to work to provide a living for our own. Well, that takes forethought and planning. That takes some, where we plan to prepare ourselves to be able to work, maybe to go to college. And there are a lot of difficult days and things we go through to get a degree in college or prepare ourselves to make a living. And going to work and making a living takes a lot of effort and forethought and planning. And there are some anxieties attached to that for sure. But we're not to worry about, as we will see, things that we really cannot control or things that, in fact, may never happen.
He said, do not worry about your life. Notice, what will you eat or what will you drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, I dare say after the end of the first sermon, you may have violated that. Where are we going to eat today? You know, one of the first things we are worried about, where are we going to eat or what are we going to wear or so forth? And those are normal things in life. But what he really is trying to tell us is we don't get all distracted from things that are more important than this. Again, it kind of gets back to what we studied about in the lesson on joy in connection with Martha. Martha was worried about the physical things. Mary focused on the spiritual. She was totally absorbed by the opportunity of being with the Lord. And Martha was running around fretting about getting the meal prepared for the crowd that had gathered. And Jesus said Mary had chosen the better. So the lesson here is we can get all distracted on what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we put on, to the point that we're not even considering the spiritual side at all, the part that really matters the most of all. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Again, how many have already violated that? Are we worried about tomorrow? Are we already thinking about problems or issues that we will face tomorrow? Is it that we have run out of things to worry about today that we need to start borrowing from tomorrow? He said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And what he's telling us is, there's plenty for us to focus on and be concerned about right now in this moment and realize this is what I need to take care of. This is what I need to be concerned about. And when I get to tomorrow, there'll be plenty to worry about then. Luke 21:34, be on guard. Notice that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. You ever get that feeling that you're just weighed down? You got more than you can carry, more than you can handle? That's very easy for life to do that to us if we allow it to happen. That we can borrow from troubles in the past that we haven't let go of and troubles in the future that haven't come yet, combined with what's going on today. And it can be overwhelming to where the worries of life literally weigh us down. And he said, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. And we suffer the ill effects of it spiritually many times because we are carrying these burdens and worries with us. So we really are just overlooking exactly what God tells us. This is something that we can learn. It's something we can get better on, or God would not command it of us. When he is very clear and to the point, do not worry about your life. Now we'll talk more about what does that mean and what am I to actually do versus sitting around wringing my hands and being anxious about things in my life. Number two, it prohibits answers to our prayer when we are worried in the way that he condemns here. Matthew or Mark, the 11th chapter in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Now, again, this passage obviously was written to the Lord's disciples in his own day, and we're also dealing with times where there are miraculous powers involved. But again, to you and I today, we still understand that this principle of believing in God, believing in his power and trusting him, is a basic element to our prayer. Now, if we really believe that and we trust in God's power to help us, which is one of the reasons we go to him in prayer, that should take care of the worry part. That should remove the anxious part. Just like we read those words in this psalm. There's a wall of fire about me. I will not fear. The joy of the Lord is my strength because I trust in him. I believe in him and I trust his promises. And his promises tell me in the Sermon on the Mount to seek him first in my life, trust in him, and serve him, and he will provide for me and care for me, and also, as we sang, He will never leave me. He's not going to leave me alone to where I'm out here trying to take care of things that I can't take care of, that I can't change. But God has that power and that ability. Believe on Him when you pray. But worry will rob us of the belief. Worry leaves us feeling like we're on our own and we're helpless and we can't do anything about it. And it just leaves us feeling bad. But notice His promise again in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? This time of year, when the buttercups or the lilies come out of the ground, when you see those, you ought to remember this promise. When you see God's spring flowers and all of their beauty, understand who made these. And every year they come up, we ought to ask ourselves, will God not also care for us? Look at the beauty that God created. Look at what He gave us. And He said, these are just the lilies of the field or the grass of the field. God made it this way. He clothed it. He cares for it. He produces it every year. Will He not clothe you? And that's obviously a rhetorical question saying absolutely He will. God loves you. You're greater than a lily. You're greater than the birds of the air that God feeds and takes care of. They don't have to worry. God provides for them. And you and I, He will provide for too. Oh, you of little faith. Worry means, again, my faith is not as strong as it needs to be. And we could substitute there for the word faith, trust. It's not just whether we believe in God or not. Do we trust Him? Do we believe that He means what He says? And if we really believe that, it's going to relieve us of that anxiety. But another thing that worry in our lives and our hearts will do is rob us of God's Word. It'll choke out God's Word. Satan knows that if he can overwhelm us in worry, he can defeat us. He can remove the Word and its effect in our lives. Matthew chapter 13 says in verse 22, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns," this is in the parable of the sower, "he that receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the Word." He hears it, he knows what it says, but the cares of this world, that we could say the worries that we face, just living day to day and being stressed about life itself, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know, when you have a nice garden plot and you put good seed in the ground, but there's a lot of weeds that start growing, and they're growing faster than the crops that are put in the ground. They come forth and they just choke out everything good and worthwhile. And in the end, there's nothing good there left, just a field full of weeds. And what can happen here is God's Word is sown in our heart. It's good and we hear it and we know it. But we get all caught up in the worries and the stresses of this world, and they choke out the effect that God's Word will have in our hearts and our lives. And he said, they choke the Word and he becomes unfruitful. Well, what are we studying on Sunday morning? Fruits of the Spirit. What will choke out joy, worry, cares of this world? It will choke it out of my life. I cannot be experiencing this anxiety, this worry, and then still have that joy of the Lord in my heart. They cannot grow together. One will remove the other. If there is that joy of the Lord, if the fruit is growing in my life, it will control and dispel the worry. And vice versa. If I give room to the anxiety and the cares and the worry of this world, I will be unfruitful when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit. It will choke it out of my life. That's a reason to listen to the Lord and do this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him. Now here's His promise. For He cares for you. What more do I need to know? He cares for me. And isn't it an amazing blessing that God tells me to cast my care on Him? What a wonderful, benevolent Father we have and Savior that we have. But he says, give me your cares. Cast them on me because I care for you. And he will care for you. We have that opportunity. But again, worry is a challenge to our faith because it is an exercise in futility. It doesn't accomplish anything worthwhile. It is a waste of time, a waste of mental energy, and it is physically draining to us. And in the end, it really doesn't accomplish anything. I read a quote once that said, worrying is like paying on a debt that may never even come. You pay on a debt that hasn't arrived yet and you may not ever get it, but you're paying it in advance, ahead of time. When you don't have to, it may not even come to you. And often what we worry about are things that in the end do not happen. But even if they do happen, we didn't have control over it. And all the effort we put into it was nothing but futility. He tells us that. In Matthew, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and verse 27, when he said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You know, most of my life, my father reached 6 foot, I think maybe just over 6 foot. And I always wanted to be 6 foot, but I fell far short of 6 foot. And I could worry about it all my life, but it's not going to change the fact that I'm not and never will be 6 foot. And really, that's what he's saying about other things that we worry about. We look at other people's lives and things going, and we worry about, you know, if we could only be like that, or we could have this. And what we're doing is, again, we can't change it. We can't make it better in that regard. And often worry is much like that in whatever area in life we're dealing with. It's a futile exercise because it doesn't change things in the end, not for the good. It's futile and it's useless, first of all, for us to worry about the past. Why? Because it's past. And one of the first things we learn is we can't go back and relive it. I don't know of a single human being that doesn't have some regret for some things that have happened in the past. And that if they were allowed, if they were able to go back and relive a day here or a day there or a decision here or there, they would do it in a moment. But none of us can do that. Do you know anyone that says, I have absolutely no regrets about anything that happened in the past that I did or said? I know that if we could, there are things we would change. But you know what? The only thing we can do about them is correct them. Repent if there were sin involved. Ask for God's forgiveness if we're a Christian, or be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That's God's greatest blessing for us in dealing with the past. He will remove all of the sins we've committed in the past when we decide to become a Christian. When we believe in Him, repent of our sins, and confess our faith and are baptized, then the past we don't have to worry about it anymore. God lets us leave it behind. He lets us give it to Him, and He said, I will remove it. But even then, it's hard for us sometimes to remove it. You know, one of the worst things we can do is worry about sins we committed that we have been forgiven for. And Satan loves nothing more than to distract your usefulness in the present and the future by getting you all wrapped up about problems in the past. They need to be corrected. And when they are, then we need to let go of them. And you know, literally, we can help other people even if we made mistakes in the past. Because we can learn from those. And we can tell them, don't do what I did. Because look at what it does. Look what happens. So we need to learn from the past. And we need to look to the present and the future. Because that's the only thing that we can live in. We cannot live in a single moment in the past. But when we try to, it's an effort in futility. And we cannot do anything about the inevitable. The inevitable. What do I mean by the inevitable? Well, one thing that's inevitable, and he tells us, is death.
We're going to face that. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. You know, it's kind of like today is April the 15th. Lord willing, two more days will be the 17th and the day the taxes are due. People used to say, you know, death and taxes are inevitable. That's one of those inevitable days we think about, but the one that's really inevitable is the first one, death. Whether taxes come or not, death is going to come. Now, I can sit around again and spend my living days worrying about dying, but that's futile. That's a waste of my time. What I need to do is spend those days preparing to die, and I don't have to worry about it then. Just like God gives me the way to deal properly with my past and not to worry about those things because He will forgive me of my sins, then He also gives me the way to live in the present so I don't have to worry about the future. Whenever that day will come. It's not a question of if we will die. We know we're going to die. He said it's inevitable. The only question is, will we be ready when it comes? And we can be. We can live ready every day. We're told how to do that. Now, again, we need to be concerned if we're not ready. But we need to be concerned now, today, when there's time to do something about it, so that we don't get to the end and then we look back on the past and say, I had all of those opportunities to get ready and I didn't get ready. So this is an appointment. It's futile for us to worry about it. How we'll leave the world or how long we're going to live. In the end, it doesn't matter how long we live. The only thing that matters is how we live and what we do with the days that He gave us. That's what we're going to answer for. After this, the judgment. Death is inevitable. The judgment is inevitable. How foolish is it then for me to live in a way that I don't ever give a thought to the judgment? How foolish is it that I get all wrapped up and worry about what's happening right here and now in my life and worrying about food and clothing and shelter and things that only deal with the physical. And I'm not looking to the spiritual, the part that will survive, the part that will go on eternally. That's where my thought and focus needs to be. Another thing about worry is that we too often focus on, again, as we mentioned, things that may never, ever happen. Sometimes we worry about ill health when we're perfectly well. And we get all stressed out about what if this happens or what if that happens or what if, maybe it's financial. What if I lose my job? Others are losing the job and we get all worried and stressed about what if I lose my job? What will I do? What did God promise us? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all His righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. These things were the basic needs of life. And we all need them each day. We know the physical man needs food and clothing and shelter, but God knows that we need it as well, just like He knows the birds need to be fed. And we can get all stressed out, again, on things we cannot control and sometimes things that will never happen. If and when they happen, God will be with us. He'll see us through these things. And we're part of a great spiritual family as well. And part of the way God helps us is through each other. So we need to leave things in His court that we cannot control and should not be stressed out and worried about. Famous quote from Mark Twain is, I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which have never happened. It's interesting. Have you ever worried about things that did not happen and you wasted your time? You were all stressed out about it. Probably affected your health, maybe your prayer life, maybe your trust in God, and it didn't even happen. But even if it had happened, still doesn't justify us worrying about things that we cannot control. So in Matthew 6:34, again, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We all have enough each day to be concerned about and to be worried about and to take care of. And God gives us the strength daily. You notice even in His model prayer what He said? Give us this day our daily bread. In that prayer, He assumes that you're going to be praying each day. Or else you're not praying for bread past one day. Give us this day our daily bread. And again, would it not be good to say, give us today the strength to worry about or to take care of today what I need to do. And focus on today and not get distracted by the past or the future. How do we win over worry? We start with the right relationship with God. It really is partly the same idea we talked about this morning, and the idea of having the joy of the Lord. If you want the joy of the Lord, you've got to have the Lord in your life. You've got to have godliness. If you want to win over worry, you've got to have the one on your side who can control the things that you cannot take care of. You need to have the providence of God working in your life. The very word providence comes from the idea of provide, and God can and will provide for His children. But it's up to us to develop a relationship with Him. He already wants that relationship with you. He gave you His Son so that you could be with Him. And now He wants you to have that relationship with Him. And it will lead to the right relationship not only with God, but as we studied last week in looking at love as a fruit of the Spirit, it will work on all of my relationships. It'll relieve me of a lot of other worries in dealing with other people because I develop the right relationship with other human beings as well. Think of that statement of great confidence that Paul made in Philippians 4:13 when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Powerful verse. You can overcome worry. You can overcome the cares of this world through Christ. Greater is He in you than anything you face in this world and any enemy that you face in this world. You can do great things if Christ is on your side and if He strengthens you, which He will. Notice the statement of chapter 4, verse 1. Stand fast, but again, in the Lord, beloved. How do we stand fast? How do we overcome? In the Lord, through Jesus Christ. Then verse 2, be of the same mind in the Lord. Think of the worries that relieves us of. When as God's children, we walk in the same mind. We are united in Christ. We work together in Christ. We work out issues and solve problems rather than, again, worrying about problems in relationships among ourselves. And by the love that we have for one another, the world will know that we're different. The world will know that we're God's children. And it solves a multitude of our worries and problems. Develop the right relationship with God and man. Develop a genuine faith in God. Now again, when I say that, I'm not saying just develop a strong belief that there is a God. I'm saying believe in God and believe God. When He promises and tells you He'll take care of you, when He tells you that He will never forsake you or leave you, believe in it. Show that you believe in it. Trust in Him to take care of you, and you take care of what He wants you to take care of. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 is clear. Trust in the Lord. That's the same as saying have faith in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what I think of when I think of that statement? I think of a little child. Just a little child looking up to their mom or their dad. And they're not worried, they're not afraid, because they know that mom and dad is going to take care of them. You know, even if it's in the middle of a storm and they run into their bedroom at night because of the storm, they trust in that parent. They feel safe and secure when they're with that parent. Or whatever else is going on in their life, when they want to be near somebody that's going to watch over and take care of them. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. When you do that, you cannot fulfill this verse and worry. You really can't. They're opposites. Either you're trusting in yourself and therefore you're worried about things you can't control, or you're turning them over to the Lord and you give Him everything. You trust Him with all of your heart and you know that He will not let you down. Lean not on your own understanding. And that's where a lot of times we get in trouble. We start leaning on our understanding. We try to figure it out. We try to control or worry about things we have no control over. And then, because we have no control, we don't know what's going to happen, we worry. And it affects our health and our spirituality and all of that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Romans 8:28. Is there a better promise in God's word than this? We know. Paul knew.
He said, we know. It's not maybe, possibly, or perhaps. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, what does that tell me? What is my part? Love God. Give Him your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. And then what? All things work together for good. He didn't say all things will be good. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God calls all men to know and obey Him, serve Him, but not all will answer that call. Not all will trust Him. Not all will believe Him or follow Him. It is the way that is free from worry, the way that is a joy under all circumstances, because we're focusing on the right things, we're trusting in the One who does have control, who has made great promises to us, and He's telling us that even in the losses of life, even in the problems of life, all of this He can weave together to work for my eternal salvation. It's kind of like an afghan that would be knitted with all different colors, dark shades and bright shades. And there's been an illustration at times where someone was watching the pattern of this afghan from underneath, and they never could quite understand it. But then when they saw the full picture on the other side, they understood all of the different varieties and colors and patterns. And it's like God is working and weaving our life. And He puts in some of the good and some of the bad, but He works it all together for our good. That is His promise. Do we believe Him? Will we trust Him? In another very familiar passage from the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm is, again, one of the greatest passages of comfort that I know of in God's Word. Just think about what He's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, you stop there. If He isn't your shepherd, you shall want. Believe me, you shall want. But if He is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't mean I will not have problems that come my way and difficulties, but God's going to help me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. One of the most beautiful parts of this time of year is that fresh spring green grass, and the pastures full of that beautiful green grass, lushness, growing. And He's saying, I can lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Peaceful is the idea. He restores my soul. Rather than, you know, what life does to me, God will restore my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, this is one that knows God and has a relationship with Him. And it doesn't say that he will not walk through difficult times. In fact, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I face these difficult times, I will fear no evil. That's a way of saying, I will not worry. I don't have to worry, for you are with me. Now, again, as a little child, wherever your parent would go with you, were you worried? Wouldn't you go with them? Wouldn't you feel safe? And God is the greatest Father of all. Will you go with Him? We sing that song, Anywhere with Jesus, I will safely go, and we will not fear. I will fear no evil, even if I go through death, through the valley of the shadow of death, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I overcome worry and anxiety. They comfort me. You prepare before me in the presence of mine enemies. Again, life is not always good. We get enemies. And yet in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. As children of God, our cup runs over with God's blessings. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to have an abundant life here. Jesus came to give it to me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is the ultimate point. That's what we're working for, and that's what God is working to give us. An eternal home. And all of the cares and mundane things in life here will hold no meaning
when we get to that world. We don't need to get stressed out about them now. Have you ever heard the statement, let the little things go? These are little things. We need to worry about eternal things and that home in heaven. When we find ourselves worrying and doing what he says not to do, we need to work on our prayer life. The closer we are to him, how else can I take my cares to him and cast my burdens on him that he tells me to do? When he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. But that really means then that I get past any little memorized words or phrases that I have, and I just really talk to God. When I've got a burden and I don't know where else to go, and in fact, where else better can I go than to the one that can control all of these things? And cast these burdens and cares on God. Let your request be made known to God. He's telling you to do that. He's telling you to come to him. And then he says the end result will be the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. You can turn on the shield, the force field, in a sense, if you will, when you learn to pray to God in the way that he commands you, casting your cares upon him, knowing that he cares for you. 2 Kings 19 and verse 14 is a beautiful example of this. When it says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it and went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. We studied this recently in our Bible class dealing with 2 Kings. And what a powerful example this is. You talk about a king between a rock and a hard place. He had the Assyrian king just about to overrun Jerusalem. And he didn't have anyone else to go to. Nobody could help him. He thought that Israel or that Judah would be carried away just like the Israelites to the north had been carried away by the great Assyrian power. But the king did the right thing, and his actions not only saved him, but the whole nation of Judah. What did he do? The only thing he could, Hezekiah takes this letter threatening that they're going to be overcome, and he goes to the house of the Lord, and he spreads it before God, and he asks for the help of God. And the Lord saved them. He saved them. He doesn't love Hezekiah any more than he loves you. You have a problem that you don't know where to go? You don't know what to do about it? Spread it before the Lord. Cast your cares on him. But understand that to pray to God, you've got to open that channel by serving him, being his child. Not just living the way you want until you need him and looking at prayer as a hotline to heaven only in time of trouble. The Lord hears and answers the prayers of his children, of the saints. It's a blessing of being a child of God. I can't imagine living day by day and facing life without it, when you imagine that. And then how you went over worry, live one day at a time. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. In fact, it may not even literally come. Tomorrow may not come for us. I may be worrying about things that won't matter at all. I may not even be here. But even if I am, there'll be plenty of time then to worry about that. And you'll have one less day to worry about because today will be gone tomorrow. And you won't have 2 days to worry about at the same time unless you allow yourself to do that. And the past will be the past. And if I need to correct things, then yes, I need to do that in the present. But other than that, even in the past, I need to let it go. You know, how many times do we try to live in the past by talking about all the good old days and we remember when it was like this or this, and it's like, it's kind of like what we read about when the Nehemiah had come back or Ezra had come back and they started laying the foundations of the temple, and the older ones that remembered the temple in Solomon's day wept thinking about it. But even though that sorrow was there, what could be done about it? What good would it do? They could not go back to Solomon's day. But fortunately, they understood they could rebuild the temple in their own day. And we have to live in the present and work toward the future, but not spend our time worrying over the past. Do not worry about tomorrow. It will care for itself when we get there. And another way to help us truly win over worry again is when we focus on the right things, which are our blessings rather than our problems. It's the same old scenario, the glass being half empty or half full. Every day you live, there will be things you could worry about if that's where you want to focus. You would never run out of things to be anxious or worried about. Never. But you have a choice. You can focus on the problems, focus on the worries, or you can focus on the blessings and how good things are as well in your life. And if you're a Christian, a child of God, there's always plenty to focus on. You'll amaze yourself. David challenged us in the meeting to list the blessings that God has given us. And when you start getting worried, just start changing your thought pattern to what's right, to what's good. And if you can put it on that list that you're a child of God and you have the hope of heaven, what else matters? What else matters in the end? Count your blessings and not your worries. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord. Notice who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Daily loads us with benefits. Benefits and blessings of being the child of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength, if I allow it to be. Win the victory over worry. Give yourself and your cares to the Lord. That's what He wants us to do. Starts by hearing the Word of God. Believing then what we hear. Obviously, unless we hear it, we cannot know or believe or follow what we do not know. We've got to hear God's Word, and then we've got to believe that it is God's Word. Because it's in the divinely inspired Word of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He was the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins. And then I've got to be willing to repent. Rodney talked about that in the invitation. And being willing, whether we are a child of God already in sin, or whether we are waiting to become a child of God, repentance is required of us. And without it, Jesus said, we will perish. We have reason to worry unless we're willing to believe and repent of our sin. And then to confess our faith in Jesus as God's Son. Romans 10 and verse 10. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Most important words you can ever say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then upon that confession, just as in the New Testament and the example of the Ethiopian, to go down into the waters of baptism where you gain the forgiveness of sins and so much more. You become the child of God, added to His kingdom by God Himself. And you have the right and the privilege and the blessing of being able to pray to your Heavenly Father, day or night, anytime, anywhere, and to cast your cares and your worries on Him. Won't you accept His invitation this evening? If you're not a Christian, come and obey the gospel while we stand and sing to encourage you.